He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, and he's actually talking about church people now, the Pharisees, to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him, okay? Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal him. Isn't that interesting? Verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see. This applies to us. And did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. We are living in a blessed time. A blessed time, praise God. So, Jesus begins, mostly on this day, he begins to talk exclusively in parables. And it really started messing people up because they wondered why that is. And even today, people say, well, what's the purpose of parables? And some people say, so that'll help us understand. No, the purpose of the parables was so that they wouldn't understand. Because he said some people, there's a scripture that says casting pearl before swine. Some people, if they did understand, it would be more trouble than if they didn't understand. I don't know if you understand. I'm struggling. Y'all aren't praying. Oh, you are? Okay. Matthew 13, 34 through 35. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, if you're just any kind of student of the Gospels, you know that Jesus did teach without parables. There are no parables, for instance, in the entire Sermon on the Mount. He taught them. So what he says here, it says that he always used parables. So understand what's going on here is that it's speaking about at a certain point in his ministry, of his three-year ministry, he started speaking in parables almost exclusively because of the Pharisees. Because they had turned on him, and he decided that it's better to not speak clearly and just keep them out of this. And really, it started on this day of his ministry. Some people call it the busy day. Something changed on that day. Because as he taught the people, listen, in Matthew 13, He had the parable of the soils, the wheat and the tare, the mustard seed, the leaven, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the dragnet were all shared that day. Parables. Because at some point Jesus said, I need to give to those who already have. And for those who have already rejected, I'm pulling it away. Wow. And I think that happens in people's lives sometimes where we reject people reject Christ. And at some point he says, okay, if that's what you want, then I'm going to pull it away. And I'm going to cause more confusion. And I'm going to allow you to think these things because that's what you want anyway. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. Let's go back a chapter, okay, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain. Okay, you understand what's going on? You've seen grain, you know, wheat out in the field. You pluck those grains. I don't know how nourishing that is, but boy, talk about something stuck in your teeth. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. That's work. Because you're harvesting on the Sabbath. And this is part of the problem. And they attacked him for healing people on the Sabbath. The Pharisees had twisted the joy and the peace of the Sabbath into a burden on people. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. It is the Lord's day, but it's for you. Ecclesiastes 4 and 8. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toll and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. In other words, we're working ourselves to death. And that was the curse. Genesis chapter 2, that's the heavens and the earth, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, say seventh day, God ended his work. He ended not because he was tired. He ended it because he was done. When it's perfect, it's perfect. Woo! And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created in man. So the Sabbath, listen, how many know in the garden we were cursed with work? Well, at least the men, right? Now you women decided you want the curse too, so now you're double cursed. Your choice, amen. Sorry, I just had to go there. So that was the curse, that we'd have to deal with the thorns and the thistles and all that stuff, right? There were no weeds before then. I guess weeds just started popping up everywhere. And Adam and Eve had to deal with that. The Sabbath was grace for the work. That one day out of seven, God says you can rest. You don't have to be consumed by work. When you violate the Sabbath, what you're really saying is, I don't trust God. The Sabbath says I can take a day off and trust God for my income and everything I need. And I don't have to work 7 days a week. I can trust God for one day. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but some people get so caught up in got to pay the bills, got to do this, got to do that, need that new TV, I need to upgrade my car, I need this, I need that, give me that, give me that, give me that. And we get so caught up in this that we work 7 days a week and we never take that day off, and we think, well, a day off, you know, I can be more productive if I work. But study after study after study after study has proven that resting one day makes the 6 days more productive. Just remember a true story, when people were going west, and they would get these wagon trains, right, and they'd go west. And there were two wagon trains that set out, or one wagon train, but they got closer to the Rocky Mountains. And they said, and it was Sunday. And half the group said, we need to keep going. Because if we don't keep going, the mountain passes are going to get snowed in or we're going to get trapped. Remember the Donner Party? Guess who's coming to dinner? You don't know your history. Sorry, I don't got time. So half of them said, I don't care if it's Sunday. We need to keep going. And the other group said, no, we're going to honor the Sabbath. We're going to trust God that taking a day off once a week will still get us there. So guess who got to California first? The ones who didn't rest wore out their animals, wore themselves out. They started walking slower. And the other group that rested passed them, got through the passes quicker, got to California before the other group because they rested one day and trusted God. You will do more with less. It's kind of the same principle as tithing. The 90% goes farther when you give God the 10. Oh, I can't afford that. It's a dime on a dollar. Look at it that way. Yeah, but I make too much money. I remember a guy came to his pastor once and said, I used to tithe when I didn't have much money, but now I'm making a lot of money. Probably because he's tithing. Now I'm making a lot of money. And he said, when the pastor says, well, I could pray God to reduce your income so you can afford to tithe. Never mind, pastor, I'll pay my 10%. Amen. He believed in the power of prayer, apparently. Wow. But they had turned the Sabbath from a day of rest to a burden. I mean, they're just walking along, just literally just raking the top of those and just throwing them in their mouth, and that violated the Sabbath. The Sabbath had become a huge burden. Now listen, the Sabbath is important. But honor it in the right way. There's a scripture. How many know about the Babylonian captivity, right? God took them because they were you know what the number one thing they were doing? They were not doing the Sabbath. And God said for 70, every seventh year, they're supposed to let the land rest. They were violating that for 490 years. Did you ever wonder why the captivity was 70 years long? It's because they didn't keep the Sabbath of Sabbath 490 years. So he said, I tell you what, if you won't let the land rest, I'll throw you off the land. Now, if God cares that much for dirt, if he says you need to honor the dirt, how much more should we honor the Lord? You need to keep your Sabbath. Come on. Oh, pastor, it's easy for you to say. No. Today's the day I work the hardest. This is not the Sabbath for me. So I need to pick another day. Come on. I try to do Mondays. I never work more than 8 hours on the Sabbath. Praise God. Sabbath is grace. Watch this. I'm trying to convince you that you need to be in church on Sunday, and you need to keep this day sacred. I mean, you'll never catch me cutting my grass on Sunday. Wow. Trying to make a point there, Larry? Or Leave him alone. He doesn't have to cut the grass. You know, the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. You know what? If I violated any of the other nine commandments, you'd fire me. But I could violate the fourth commandment all every day, and you're like, yeah, Pastor, way to go. Pastors got this complex that they got to convince people how busy they are, you know. Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. They want everyone to know how busy they are. Okay. But you need to take a Sabbath and sabbaticals. Come on. Every few years. And you need this time away. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Listen, the Sabbath is the only one of the Ten Commandments that appears in creation. It's in creation. This is important. The honor or remember the Sabbath is the fourth commandment. It's at the end of the list of four commandments about God. And you could say it starts the next six, which are about man. It's right in the middle. It's about God. It's about man. It's one of the longest verses. All the other Ten Commandments are very short. Thou shalt not kill. Right? Thou shalt not, you know, steal. There it is. Exodus 20 has four verses. Let's look at it. Verse 8, just so you know what the commandment says. Remember, say remember, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That means separate. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Say all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter. You can't say, all right, son, you go out there and work. And you can't even make the people who work for you do it. Come on. Male servant, female servant. And you got to let your cattle rest. I don't know what that means. You don't milk them? I don't know. Or the stranger who's within your gates. For you say, well, he's not a Jew. He can work. No. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's the only commandment that says remember. The other ones are thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Why does God do that? Because he knew we'd forget. I mean, it's not like, remember, don't kill anybody. I almost forgot that. I don't think you're going to forget that, right? Remember, don't commit adultery. Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that. No. But when it comes to the Sabbath, he knew what would happen. We would just conveniently forget that one. But if it's one of the Ten Commandments, we might want to pay attention. I'll wait for a stronger amen. Okay, that's better. Praise God. Matthew 12, verse 18. Matthew 12, verse 18. Let's get back into the scripture. You still with me? Do we need a new computer too? Is that it? Matthew 12. This is why I always have it here. Oh, we skipped that one. I'm sorry. Matthew 12:22. I'm sorry. How about 14? I did. There it is. Should have wrote it on my paper. I wanted you to get this verse here, a couple verses down from the one I just read. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. It was the Sabbath and his confrontation of them on the Sabbath that you people are abusing the Sabbath and using it as a way to burden people instead of letting them rest The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. The Pharisees went out and plotted against him to see what they can do. My God, help us in this place. Amen? Verse 31. Let's just go there. I don't know where I'm at. Verse 31. It's good too. I can preach that. This is how serious what they were doing here. I'm just trying to emphasize this and trying to help you to understand the whole thing about parables. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. This is in the context of what the Pharisees were saying. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Yikes. Now, that scripture has been abused, especially we Pentecostals. Someone says, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Oh, that's sinning against the Holy Spirit. Lighten up. I struggle with this verse, or I did struggle with it, because what? Why can't you forgive this? God, aren't you big enough? If I insult you, you'll forgive it, but if I insult the Holy Spirit, you're not going to forgive that sin? It doesn't make any sense. Then I looked at what the Pharisees were doing. And how Jesus cut them off at this point. Here's what you need to understand. Who convicts of sin? Who's the convictor? The Holy Spirit. He does a lot of things. Wow. I mean, maybe I should just do a whole series. I wrote some things down. He's the comforter. He's the regenerator. He's the sealer, he's the indweller, he's the teacher, he's the guide, he's the revealer, he's the empower. He's the fruit producer, he's the gift giver, he's the helper in whom we walk. Ah, come on, church. Need I go on? But that's not what this blasphemy is about. If you reject the Holy Spirit as a person of the Godhead, you cannot come under conviction. You will think you are right. You will never be saved. There it is. There it is. If you reject the work of the Holy Spirit, how in the world? Because you can't be saved if you're not convicted of sin. What are you being saved from? Saved from sin. What sin? I don't have any sin. And the world's like that now. They're just doing whatever they want to do. And they've gone to the extreme where whatever is right is now wrong. Never mind what's wrong is right. What's right is wrong. That video would have helped me right there. Amen. All right, is everybody hearing what I'm saying? Wow, hallelujah, my Jesus, help us. Matthew 12:22, it says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. He healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Can you imagine? And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Could this be the Messiah that we've been waiting for? What did the church leaders say? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub. Yeah, he casts out demons because he's the prince of demons. Does that not make any sense? I mean, you're kind of defeating yourself. And what did Jesus say? Kingdom divided against itself will not stand. In other words, you're stupid. Stupid Pharisees. But that's what Jesus had to deal with, and he begins to speak to them completely, completely in parables. Verse 34, he says, brood of vipers, you snakes. I mean, Jesus could be pretty clear. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you snakes. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Wow. So we come to chapter 13 then, and we've already talked in previous messages about the soils, and that's one of the parables on that day. And next week we want to get into some more of these parables, but I wanted to lay this foundation first. But it says in verse 1, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke to them. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Verse 34 and 35 talk about this again. I will open my mouth in parables, and so on and so on. I think we mentioned that already. I like what it says in verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I guess I early in my ministry I struggled with, are they getting it? Are they listening? Are they hearing? How can you know? But at some point you need to understand some people are never going to get it. Because they don't want to get it. They want to do their thing. They just show up for church to feel better. But he who has ears. Well, everybody has ears. Not those kind. There's such a thing called spiritual ears. And only spiritual ears can hear spiritual things. You know, when you're not saved, you don't understand all this stuff. The only thing you will receive, if you will receive it, the only thing you'll receive is when that strikes your heart that I'm wrong. God will allow you to hear that, maybe, if he thinks you'll respond. Whew. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. He who has ears, go ahead and praise him. He who has ears, let him hear. There's that verse I referred to, and I'll close with this. Who would hang earrings on a dog's ear? Or throw pearls in front of wild pigs? They'll only trample them under your feet and then turn around and tear you to pieces. Ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you'll discover. Knock and the door will be opened for you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Whew. I tell you, the enemy has fought me on this message. What in the world's going on? Before I preached it, while I preached it, you kind of quit now that I'm.